Welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast, episode 51. Today we're talking about a variety of paranormal things.
Yes, it is time to go into the world of the paranormal, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I honestly, this isn't my zone.
You're not a big fan of
this kind of stuff.
And that's why we haven't done any of it so far, because Kendall's just not really into the scary stuff. But
well, like,
I mean, it's not all
scary. I believe in ghosts,
but
I don't know. I have a different, like,
I mean, technically, like, UFOs is kind of a paranormal thing.
Okay. So I guess
aliens is kind of paranormal. So,
but I do, like, on my channel, I don't do like that kind of stuff.
You don't
go
into ghosts and demons and poltergeists.
Yeah. I struggle with the kind of that kind of stuff for some reason, but I'm interested. So Josh is going to be, for the most part,
delivering
us
the goods
through this
today,
because
guys.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to switch directions. I know last week we said we were going to do true crime, and then we kind of just realized, like, maybe we should save that because we're going to do a really good case, but we wanted to have a little bit more time to prepare for it. So I already know a lot about this realm of paranormal from personal experience and just my interests. And I've always been kind of into horror movies and, you know, kind of creepy paranormal type shit, Paranormal Activity, you know, that those movies. You probably never even watched the Paranormal Activity movies.
Are you kidding
they're
me?
They're kind of silly, but
I just seriously don't, I don't even get that scared during
like
these movies. I just think it's dumb. Like, I don't get it. I know
it's
like
true.
Most of you guys probably like scary movies. So
I think we went to
like
one scary
unpopular
movie.
Opinion, but
how many
yeah,
scary
I don't,
movies
I don't enjoy
to?
Being scared. Like, I don't like to be, a lot of people love that, like, adrenaline.
I do.
That
it gets my adrenaline. Like, sometimes I'm like, like trying to hide my eyes and
basically
like
throws me into an anxiety.
I'm like, I want to see, but I don't.
Yeah.
But I will tell you a funny story real quick. So I didn't really know where Kendall was on the horror scary movie spectrum. So one of our early dates, I think.
Yeah. It's one of our
I was like, hey, like, I think it might have been for my birthday. Or I don't even remember
it
the
was
circumstances.
For your birthday.
I really wanted to see this movie, if you remember.
Yeah, it was your 18th
Devil.
Birthday. So we could go to an R movie because you had just turned 18.
I don't think that was R.
Really?
No, it wasn't.
I don't know.
It was like PG-13,
I'm
pretty
sure.
Why
did we see that then? Why did I agree to go?
I wanted to
show?
See it. And so we went and saw Devil.
Ugh,
and
that scared me so
she
bad.
She was so scared there. Was,
I left. I got mad at you. I was kind of like,
mad.
Fuck this guy. And then I left. Because I was like so freaked out. It was way worse than I thought. You're like, no, it won't be bad. It's like a thriller. No. It's like people being murdered every couple of minutes. Freaked me out.
Yeah, your typical Hollywood scary movie. And I mean, that's a really bad representation most of the times of like what the actual field of paranormal is, because there's like people that really research this shit because it is an unexplained phenomenon.
I do believe in it. I get nervous about it because I don't know how much we're supposed to fuck with like ghosts and stuff. I have a lot of respect for the dead, and that's where I've always like had an issue with the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, we'll get into more of that later because it's very, very interesting stuff. But I've got nothing else for the intro today. We're going to make things really quick because I know some of you guys like it when we go quick through the intro. So, we're going to jump right into things here.
And now it's time for Woke News This Week.
Hell yeah. All right. So I've got a couple interesting stories for you today. One, probably nobody saw. But if you guys remember, we've talked about this before on the podcast. We've talked about how the Department of Defense has all this money and it's going to all these different government programs, military programs, and we don't really know what exactly they're doing. They don't tell us what the programs are, right? So what's interesting is if you remember back to December 2017, there was the New York Times article that broke that was about the Tic Tac UFO, and Tom DeLonge's company, To the Stars, released it. It was like this huge deal. Mm-hmm. Lou Elizondo, the dude that was running this Pentagon UFO research program, he, you know, came out and started talking about it. And it really kind of, I think, kickstarted the UFO alien conversation, you know, in the country and gotten way more people interested in it and
Definitely.
Kind of just ignited that, you know, curiosity, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen like a huge spike.
Absolutely.
In people's interest in this.
And what's interesting too is like Hollywood is already like there's multiple movies coming that are kind of in the UFO alien kind of
space
conspiracy world. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. But basically what we found out from the Tic Tac UFO, we also found out about the Pentagon's research program for UFOs called AATIP. So this program was top secret until it's declassified. And as a part of like kind of bringing this forward, we found out that the Basically, they spent $22 million in this UFO research program, but we don't know exactly what they did with the money. Well, interesting thing, thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, which is extremely important, and they are trying to fight us. The Trump Organization is trying to shut that down because obviously you know what's been going on with him. So, you know, they don't want people trying to get the truth about things or trying to get, you know, documents declassified, things like that. But basically what happened is the Federation of American Scientists. So it's an organization that actually, I believe, was a part of the Manhattan Project when they were working on the atomic bombs. They filed a Freedom of Information Act filing to find out exactly what programs were being paid for as a part of this $22 million that the Department of Defense was spending in this UFO program. Oh, and wow. Guess what?
Oh, geez.
They fucking released what the 38 research programs were that this $22 million was going to.
Oh my gosh.
It's really interesting. Just this whole concept of the government, you know, acknowledging this UFO phenomenon and everything, because they have denied it for so long. But basically they released a document that is like a couple pages long, and it doesn't tell you any details, but it tells you what these programs actually were about. And it's going to blow your mind. Titles of the research programs that this money was going to was Invisibility Cloaking. Basically, some Harry Potter shit.
Gosh, wow!
Invisible cloaking.
Oh, that's trippy.
So they are literally
like an actual cloak.
Everybody thinks this is all fake movie shit. The government and the military is absolutely doing all kinds
of,
like.
Sometimes it seems like movies get ideas and inspirations from like inside knowledge of stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's all interlaced. There's
it's like
people
so many things.
Talking.
I'm like, whoa, that's like this movie.
It's
or
all
that
interlaced.
Movie.
It's like this big animal that is the, you know, system and all these different entities. Not only was there invisibility cloaking, traversable wormholes.
Holy shit.
Which
honestly doesn't surprise
not
me though. That's
right.
Good that they're researching that. Good.
It is good because we already know a little bit about wormholes and black holes and such. And you know, a lot of you know about an organization in Switzerland called CERN. And they do a ton. They have like the particle accelerator, and they're actually like creating wormholes and shit. So it's interesting that it's traversable wormholes, which basically means going through them. They're actually spending money on this. My only thought is like maybe this is all bullshit, and they're just trying to throw us off track.
Well, they could just be trying to work towards it. Just because they have a project on it doesn't mean
No. Exactly. It could be they may have failed. I mean, they may have tried.
Yeah, they may
and
not
failed.
Be like anywhere near right. being able to actually try to do it.
There was also anti-gravity aerospace applications. There you go. I mean, they're trying to, this just explains, you know, goes hand in hand with what we talked about with Bob Lazar last week.
Yeah.
Him working on anti-gravity technology back in the, you know, 70s or whatever. And here they are working on anti-gravity aerospace applications. Warp drive. So basically going faster than the speed of light, I assume, going at warp speed. Dark energy, which is something we don't even understand or really know what it is.
Cool,
so they're looking into that as well as the manipulation of extra dimensions. Boom.
Damn, how cool.
There is a multiverse, folks.
God, we are on the right track. This just shows everyone in this fucking realm that we're all on the right track, guys. There clearly are. This shit is not crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
It's not crazy.
It makes sense. I mean, they put this money into it, and I mean, they probably didn't get very far with that much money. That's not a lot to do all of these projects. But what's very interesting about it is when they did come forward with this, the people that were working in this program literally jumped, left the government, and went to work for Tom DeLong at his company, To the Stars, Academy of Science and Arts or whatever, Arts and Science or whatever. And they're actually kind of picking up where these guys left off and moving it forward. Now, this is very interesting and is going to play into another story that I have in a minute. But this idea of traversable wormholes also makes me think about, could the government military be trying to research time travel? Or have they accomplished this already?
I think chances are they probably already have.
It seems possible. I mean, I don't know. Why else would you know, why else are they trying to do this as well? Because that's the whole extra part of it. Obviously, going into space or, you know, space exploration, but you got to think there's more, you know, practical applications like maybe telepathy, teleportation, maybe time travel. So I just thought that was super interesting. And so, yeah, there's this document out there and a lot, I'm sure a lot of you didn't even know about it. And I'll link it in the description of this episode so you guys can take a look at it for yourself. But it is very, very interesting. All right. So the next story I got for you guys, some of you actually let us know, some of our Canadian, God, I was trying to do a Canadian accent. That was terrible. Canadian friends.
The
I have
hell
no idea.
Was that?
I have
Canadian.
No, just disregard. Canadian. I don't know even know how you guys, how do you guys talk? You guys talk like every, what I know you guys hear this all the time. You guys are so nice, but it's like true.
Oh, yeah.
Every Canadian you've met, like every Canadian I've ever known. Is
I'm
just
thinking
like,
of the Nelk boys because we were just watching them.
Hell yeah. Shout out Folsen.
But they'll like, what do they say? They'll say like a.
Yeah. I mean, that you guys just have like a so funny way of saying things sometimes. I don't know. It's really funny. But anyway.
But they're so nice. My manager's Canadian. He's so mellow. Sometimes I'm like, God, I'm crazy.
Oh, I know. And they're always chillaxed.
So
like,
chill.
Never stressed. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you guys get stressed, but you guys seem. Like Americans, I just feel like are constantly like anxiety ridden.
Americans just suck.
Like,
All right.
As I sit here and drink an energy drink, that's America. All right. But anyway, the Canadian dude that got sentenced to death in China for drug smuggling.
I can't believe this.
I honestly had no clue about this until one of you let us know. And as I started looking into this, I'm like, holy shit, this is like fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this Canadian guy named Robert Lloyd Schellenberg, who was basically given the death penalty for appealing his case. He got arrested. So basically what happened is he got arrested while in China, apparently trying to move like 500 pounds. He was a participant in drug smuggling, trying to smuggle 500 pounds of meth from China to Australia, and he got busted. And so in China,
a lot of meth.
China takes like drug stuff to the next level. And just Asia in general takes weed. And I mean, even just weed, but meth, especially cocaine, things like that, you're in serious trouble. So he got, I think he got like, I can't remember the exact number of years he got originally, like maybe like 10 or 15 years or something. And so his lawyer, he had like a Chinese lawyer, he's in Chinese prison, went and basically tried to appeal it.
Yeah.
And literally the judge or whoever is running the court
shut that shit down.
Basically let like deliberated for an hour and then gave him the death penalty. Because basically they were like, you're already guilty and we already gave you your sentence. So they penalize you for appealing it. So you actually end up getting a harsher sentence because you appealed.
Oh, my God.
And they feel like it was a bad, like bad enough thing, or maybe they found some more evidence or something. God. And so they literally escalated it from like, I don't know, 10, 15 years to now he is facing the death penalty. And I'm pretty sure they execute like a lot quicker than we do or the U.S. does. So this is like
yeah, I'm sure
crazy.
They do. And China, and I mean, gosh, doesn't this make you realize, though, we always complain so much about the American judge, the judicial system, which it is fucked up and we can definitely prove it. And there's better countries. But like, God, man, at least we don't get like that kind of treatment.
Yeah, it's really bad.
An hour of deliberation for the death penalty. That's fucking nuts.
And here's why the speculation about this is weird, because the Chinese lawyer is like, this is unheard of. This doesn't normally happen.
Yeah,
usually they deliberate for way longer. So basically this comes down to this geopolitical feud between China and Canada now, because so there's a company in China, a big electronics company called Huawei, Huawei. And one of their executives actually got arrested in Canada. So we arrested like one of their people and we're kind of holding them. And now they've taken one of ours and are like literally threatened to kill one of theirs. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I don't live in Canada as much as I wish I did. But yeah, they're going to execute this Robert Schellenberg.
Oh, how terrible. This poor guy.
So now like Justin Trudeau has been talking about it and saying, you know, we're going to try to do everything we can to work something out. And hopefully they can... Maybe they can work out a trade or something like...
Holy shit.
But China's kind of like, you know, they're going to be, they're like the bully on the block, man. They're the ones that are like kind of.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I just looked and saw like the Chinese economy set to like just obliterate all of us. Like they're going to be such a massive superpower and they're going to control space and everything else. And it's like, you know, I never want to think about, you know, enemies or having to like get in a conflict. But at the same time, it's like, we obviously China has other plans, you know, they don't want to work with us necessarily. And they, you know, who knows what they might end up doing. So this is just freaky. another problem.
The beef. Added to the list.
So, yeah.
That's scary.
Yes, he was sentenced to 15 years in 2016. But then all of a sudden, he got an appeal, and they were like,
oh my gosh, how crazy.
And now he only has 10 days to appeal his death sentence.
Oh, that's so terrible. Well, hopefully he can appeal it. That would create
such a, oh my God. Like
maybe they'll like appeal it and they'll.
I'm hoping that Justin Trudeau can, you know.
Work his magic, use his charm.
Do something.
Bring out the charm.
You know, I personally don't think that anybody that's a drug smuggler should be getting a death sentence.
No
I just
way.
Think that's so over the top. Doesn't matter what even if the drug is harmful for at this, you know, I don't think anybody deserves a death sentence.
My God.
So I don't know. It's pretty bad. And China's like, they actually created travel warnings. Both of them did. Canada made one for like their citizens. Was like, if you're traveling to China, you know, be careful, blah, blah, blah. And what's hilarious is China made the exact same one about Canada.
Oh, my God.
And
they're
like, if you're traveling, all Chinese citizens, if you're traveling to Canada, be careful. Their rules aren't fair. Or I don't even know what it said.
Their rules aren't fair.
Just like, you know, basically you have to follow, when you're in our country, you got to follow our laws and regulations or you will be subjected to the law, you know, be prosecuted. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I don't think I want to go to China. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. My dad said it was like crazy there.
Yeah.
Just so many.
It just doesn't look in. I just don't.
It looks like really stressful.
I'm sure there's parts that are beautiful and stuff, but it's just like, I hate crowded cities. Me too. I just can't do it.
I think we would struggle there. We don't like crowds.
It's not our thing. Let's just say that. But the next topic I wanted to talk about is the Donald Trump time travel / Barron Trump conspiracy that went viral this week on Twitter. And you guys were like, guys, do you see this? Yes, we saw this. And Kendall actually made a video about it a while back.
Yeah, like a year. Yeah,
like a year and a half ago. Like it's kind of resurfacing. It's not, this person acted like they like made this huge discovery. And it was like, no, we already know about this. So we'll talk about that in a second. But first, I want to thank our first sponsor, Third Love. Kendall, tell us about Third Love.
Okay, since this is your, seriously love Third Love. I have been a customer for a really long time. So before they were sponsoring us, and I have used their bras for a long time, and they're the only bras that I have worn probably for the last 2 years. Because most days, to be honest, I don't even wear bras because I hate bras. But when I do wear a bra, it's a Third Love bra because they're so much more comfortable. And they have a huge variety of the types of bras that they offer.
Yes, yes. They have, don't they have like all the sizes too, like from A to H and stuff?
Well,
like,
the cool thing about Third Love is like you get on and you take a quiz, and
right,
most women are not wearing the right bra size. It's actually like crazy. And I was not. I was actually a whole cup smaller than I thought I was. And so now I'm adjusted because of their quiz into the right bra. And
what does it quiz you on? It quizzes you on like
everything.
All the details, like shape, right? Yep. And stuff. Like,
yeah, do they like flop to the side? Like, do they like point up?
I mean, they all kind of have a mind of their own. So everybody does something different.
They totally do have a mind of their own.
That was my misinterpretation. I always thought it was like exactly the same for every, I don't know.
No. Yeah. How would that be possible? Bodies are different.
I don't know.
Boobs are different. So you got to have some good booby baskets is the bottom line. And I like these the are quiz comfortable.
Thing. I think the customization and personalization of the experience is great.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the bras are truly great quality. They're comfortable. They're also really like good looking, like they're normally lacy. There's some, like I have a couple of their just t-shirt bras that I love. They're so soft. They're like jersey material.
And they sell like other stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can get all of your essentials there.
I don't know if they do panties too, but I think so. But I know they do tons of bras.
Bras is a specialty. So if you,
but I do love
you ladies
it.
Out there are interested.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. Like woman to woman, no joke. This stuff, I love Third Love. I love Third Love. Like, and I've tried some, you know, high end bras before, and I just got rid of everything I had, and I only have Third Love now. I probably have like 6 of their bras now, or 7.
That is excellent. So if
you ladies are
interested, you can go to thirdlove.com/milehigher now to find your perfect fitting bra.
They have the ladies to buy bras for.
Very true. Very true.
And Valentine's Day is coming, fellas.
It is. And you get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/milehigher for 15% off today. Don't miss out.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So let's talk about this Donald Trump time traveler theory for a minute. All right. So this is definitely like tin hat conspiracy out there. Almost, you know, because basically it comes down to these are all just normal coincidences, nothing crazy or special about
it. It's a little weird, I think.
Or there is something deeper below the surface. So let's talk about the facts for a minute here. So Ingersoll Lockwood, who's an American author and lawyer, published 2 children's books and 1 short pamphlet between 1890 and 1896, so a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
In 1898, he published his first book titled The Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog, Bulger.
But you know what people are getting wrong about this?
What?
The character is not named Baron Trump. His name is Trump, and he's described as a Baron Trump. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. He's actually named Wilhelm Heinrich.
Yeah.
Sebastian von Trump.
Yeah. Yep.
It's what they refer to him as is Little Baron Trump.
Yeah, it's like, but Baron's like a descriptive word.
So it's not like the character aligns directly with
he's not named Baron.
Right, exactly. So after he published that first book, he followed up in 1893 with Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. And his last book was published in 1896 titled 1900 or the Last President, which all these books can actually be found on archive.org.
Yes.
And you can actually read through them and see this for yourself.
The Last President book is pretty crazy.
It is. It is. So here's the kind of tie-ins here. So the first 2 novels, like I just said, follow a young boy named Wilhelm Heinrich Sebastian von Trump. Little Baron Trump, as he's referred to, comes from a very wealthy family that lives on 5th Avenue in New York City.
That's in where what is Trump's called tower
Trump
is.
Castle. No joke. It says Trump Castle, T-R-U-M-P Castle.
Yeah, and 5th Avenue is actually where Trump Tower is.
That's very weird, man. So in the books, Little Baron and his dog Bulger go on a series of wild adventures through other dimensions in time with the help of a mystic character named Don Fum. Don helps Baron and Bulger find the portals to his world within a world that eventually leads them to Russia. No joke.
Yeah, dude.
So weird, right?
This story
is just like an average day children's novel, but it's very weird how it has all these ties to the modern world. And obviously a world where the American president is Donald Trump, and he lives on 5th Avenue with his son Baron in Trump Tower.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
Like Kendall mentioned, in the last book, 1900, The Last President, it begins with a scene of New York City in chaos.
Yep. It's like right after an election in November. Yep. People are like freaking out in the streets. It's like a total fucking chaos.
Because that candidate just got elected.
Yeah,
because
some like controversial candidate wins.
Yep.
It's so weird.
People are pissed and, you know, like protesting and feel like they've been oppressed. And yeah, it's in front of 5th Avenue. And it's in front of the 5th Avenue Hotel, which is actually where Trump Tower stands. And it's kind of a similar predicament. I don't know if people are still protesting outside Trump Tower, but...
No, but they were when it first happened in November.
Now,
same as that.
The sketch of Baron Trump, some people have like lined up the sketch from the book with Baron's face, and it's really funny. Because
it is similar looking.
It is a little similar.
It's too weird.
It is really weird. Here, if you're watching, I'll show you. But in the book, Baron Trump has a dog named Bulger, yet the real life Baron Trump didn't have a dog until they got in the White House and they adopted a golden doodle named Patton. What's interesting, though, is that with Baron's, the real life Baron's dog being named Patton, which is named after George S. Patton, the American military captain who was an instrumental factor in the U.S.'s victory at the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. So people are like, there's a connection there. Like, even though it's not like a direct connect, it's like... Oh, well, it's, you know, weird how it kind of aligns there. So in addition to stories of Baron Trump, there is another book written by Ingersoll Lockwood titled Laconics of Cult, where Lockwood writes about superstition and the occult much in the same light he does in his children novels. Laconic is an adjective that literally means a few words, which seems to be a spot-on description of the real Baron Trump.
Dude, for real, though.
All right, so let's talk about... This like, you really got to dig deep, because this is, like... Donald Trump could be a time traveler, folks. So if you didn't know this, but the uncle of Donald Trump is named John Trump. And John Trump was an engineer who worked for MIT at the time of Nikola Tesla's death. And when Nikola Tesla died... The federal government literally raided his where he was living and confiscated all of his work. And then they hired a group of scientists and engineers to help them decipher Tesla's notes. And John Trump was among one of the men chosen for the task.
Yep.
And now what's very interesting about this, if you don't know anything about Tesla, Tesla is perhaps, in my opinion, one of the most influential scientists and just philosophical minds in history.
I'm sure they all agree with you, dude.
Yeah. And he was working on time travel, and he actually was working on a time travel machine. So this is where this comes in. In interviews that John Trump gave later in his life, he talks about how these notes of Tesla's influenced him to study new methodologies beyond what they had thought probable. And of course, the speculation is that John Trump discovered the means of time travel, but died before it could be realized. This is where Donald Trump comes into place. John Trump left his nephew with his findings, hoping at a later date, Trump would be able to complete it, what he started. And this is where the two theories combine to one, that the the famous time traveler, which we covered on our show, John Teeter, is actually Donald Trump. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Why would John Teeter... Oh, yeah. I did cover this in my video.
Right. So we don't know. But basically...
We basically just like reread my whole video.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's literally what happened.
So there's not anything new for this?
No, the Pepe the Frog part.
Oh, okay. I want to hear about the Pepe the Frog part.
But the reason why... I got to complete it for the people that don't know. But
okay.
Trump went forward in time and saw a world ruined by war and famine, likely from him, disguising himself as John Teeter and then... joining the army in the future. But then he, you know, time traveled back and now he's here to save us from this future, which he's doing a really good job of. Now, this part, I didn't know
either. Why wouldn't John Teeter be like, and then Donald Trump will be president to really shock people?
Yeah. You're telling me, I don't know. And this is another part that I don't totally fully understand how it fits into everything. But basically, Pepe the Frog, which... I'm sure you've seen the memes with Pepe the Frog, but all this time travel and divine destiny are made possible for a number of reasons, but all of them are due to the ancient Egyptian god of chaos, Kek or Keku. Kek is a figure who appears as a frog-headed being, and in ancient Egypt was worshipped for his magical abilities. Many people joke that the popular meme Pepe the Frog, which is often associated with Donald Trump, and he's like literally retweeted memes of Pepe the Frog. Yeah.
It's associated with him?
Yeah, there's tons of memes where he is Pepe the Frog. That's the connection, is like Donald Trump is Pepe the Frog, and they're saying that it's connected to this, to the Kek, the god of chaos.
Okay.
So
that's fun.
Basically, the two got tied together.
Someone was creative with this. Someone was digging deep. Yeah, so this is all new. Because this was not part of the theory when I researched this like 2 years ago.
Oh, well, I'm sure people like continue digging and finding things like weird connections to things. I'm sure somebody was like,
that's a stretch.
Googled Pepe, like a ancient god from Egypt that is a frog, was like, oh, there we go. Let's tie those. Obviously, there's no evidence to support that Donald Trump is a time traveler.
But the rest of it is really weird. The whole thing about John Trump actually being his uncle is like really, really weird. And I mean, everything up until the Pepe the Frog part is like pretty fucking crazy.
I mean, what if this Ingersoll guy is a time traveler?
Possibly. Or what if Donald Trump just loves this book and he named his son after it because he's like, oh, there's this famous book with like my family's name in it. And like, we love this. Like, everyone in my family has had this fucking Trump book because they're the Trumps. So maybe it's a family book. And then they were like, Baron Trump. And like, for all we know, he loves this book.
That's true. Somebody should ask him.
Yeah. Be like, dude, he clearly likes
Pepe the Frog.
That is not, I don't understand that.
Dude, just frog. Look, if you look up Trump Pepe the Frog or God. Trump Frog meme, you'll see.
It's so dumb.
See what it is. But I don't
anyway,
know.
I feel like he could have just named his son that. But wow, it looks the same.
It does. It's very weird.
Wow. Like,
it's
damn.
Very weird.
It straight looks like him. That's super I know. Weird. God.
So this was just freaking people out because like tons of people hadn't heard about this before. So that tweet went
God,
super, super viral.
God, why didn't my
viral.
Video go viral then?
Yeah, what the hell?
I came out with a full fucking thing
I'm
on
telling
this.
You, it's because everybody's getting into like the conspiracy world now. Everybody wants to like understand conspiracies.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should redo all my fucking content from years ago.
Let's
then.
Do it. Redo it. I'm sure people wouldn't mind redoing
I'm
everything.
I'm not redoing this Barron Trump one though. Anyway.
Anyway. Just thought that was interesting. And
that is. That's funny.
Hopefully you find that entertaining as well. But before we get into the paranormal, I want to thank our second sponsor, Molecule. Molecule is the world's first molecular air purifier that reduces symptoms for allergy and asthma sufferers, which is very important for me because I have both. I have bad allergies and asthma. And yeah, I need my air clean. And it's very hard to get clean air in this house because I literally live in a farm. I've got rabbits. I've got cats. I've got dogs. So I'm allergic to basically everything and I've been suffering. So Molecule basically introduced a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. Molecule replaces 50 years of antiquated technology. The HEPA filter technology that's been used to clean your air was developed in the 1940s, and there haven't been any major innovations since. Love companies that innovate. But anyway, Molecule's PECO technology, photoelectrochemical oxidation, goes beyond the HEPA filter system to both capture and eliminate allergens, mold, bacteria, viruses, and airborne chemicals. That includes pollutants. Or I keep saying pollutants. Or no, pollutants. Yeah, 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch. Molecule makes a real difference for asthma and allergy sufferers, better cope with their conditions, and significantly reduce their symptoms. One customer has reportedly said that after using Molecule in her home, she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule's technology has been funded by the EPA, extensively tested by real people, and verified by third parties and university laboratories like the University of South Florida, Center for Biological Defense, and the University of Minnesota Particle Calibration Laboratory. Molecule is easy to use, has a clean and sleek design. It does look really cool. It looks very futuristic and space-agey. It's like a big cylinder.
Oh, it's super cool.
Yeah, it's like all aluminum. It's really nice.
Very like luxury looking.
Yeah, it's cool. It's got an app. It's got a screen. It's like really high tech stuff. And the materials is, like I said, using solid aluminum shell. And the filters are on a subscription service where they arrive on a regular schedule at your doorstep when you need them. So if you would like to get one, you get $75 off your first order. All you got to do is visit molequle.com and enter the promo code MILEHIGHER. That's molequle.com and use promo code Mileheimer to get that $75 off.
Mileheimer?
Oh,
Mileheimer. Mile
I try so hard to speak
M-I-L-E-H-I-G-H-E-R. M-I-L-E-H-I-G-H-E-R.
No, I was.
And that is molecule with a K.
You didn't even spell it right, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were spelling mile higher.
I did.
Yeah, I was spelling molecule. Not mile higher.
No, but you said, my God. Why are we? We're like an annoying couple fighting on this right now. Spare them from our
couples
idiocy.
Therapy.
That's Casey Neistat's podcast.
Piecast. Oh, my dear God. Somebody's
pie
been smoking
stat.
A reefer.
I almost called it a pie stat.
A pie stat. Pie stat. All right, let's fucking get into this shit. People are like,
I'm ready.
Hurry the fuck
scare
up.
Me. I'm turning my computer off because I'm just here to, I'm going to listen. This is like.
Yeah, this is getting into some really
stuff. Because I wanted to call this campfire stories, but Josh didn't know if
we have
into
no
campfire.
Campfire we'd have to at least get a campfire in here. That.
Well, I like the name of that because these are like
fine.
Stories you tell around a campfire.
That's fine. You can do that on your channel then and have a campfire.
No,
because
I don't want to do that on my channel.
This
fine.
Is the paranormal
you know I like
and the
to
unexplained.
Come up with name
okay?
for a series. I love
this is
series.
Serious stuff. This is a serious topic.
I know,
right?
But still, it's stuff you'd tell out around a campfire at night. Scary stories.
I don't think any. Have you ever been on a campfire and somebody's like, "Hey, have you heard of the Mothman?"
Yes, dude. That's like what you do around it. Where have you been around a campfire?
I've been around the campfire.
I want to call it Campfire Chats this episode.
Oh my God. We'll see. We'll talk about it after.
Oh, the Virgo is so controlling.
No,
everyone.
No, no. This doesn't fit.
This is what I go with.
I got this shit planned out. I worked hard on the planning. All right.
No, we agreed we were going to call it that, though.
I know, but I changed my mind.
No, you can't just do that.
What a better title. We're trying to clickbait. All right. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I like that.
Okay. All right. We can put a hashtag campfire chat
okay.
in the thing.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So, the paranormal.
I want to like turn off the lights. Can I turn off the lights so it's scary in here?
What does a paranormal consist of? Well, for me, no. Why are you going to turn off the lights?
Because then it'll be more scary.
I know, but people like to see our beautiful faces and our beautiful.
I just want to try and see what it looks like.
It'll fuck up the green screen, dude.
Oh, it will.
We'll fuck up our green screen.
We'll still have this light.
No, you won't be able to see the green screen though.
But just the overhead light.
That doesn't do shit.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to do it. All right, you start.
Okay, guys. Jesus. All right. So basically, the world of paranormal contains a lot of different things, from demons to fairies, UFOs, other cryptids like Bigfoot, to just like unexplained shit, you know, ghosts, spirits, all that kind of thing. It's just everything that is essentially... that can't be explained with like science, you know, because science is so exact and perfect. And I'm sorry, I love science. Science is my strength, but I've become such a like unexplained mm-hmm. mysteries fan since I do this for a living now. That's probably why. Yeah. But I've also realized is like we are literally not taking the unexplained and paranormal serious enough. Like mm-hmm. there is a lot here to study and a lot to try to figure out, because there is absolutely shit going on in when you talk about any of these things. And there's evidence for each of these things as well that a lot of people just throw out the window because they're like, oh, there's no Bigfoot. Well, it's like, how the fuck do you know there's no Bigfoot? We can't possibly know every single creature that roams this planet. We don't mm-hmm. even know what's in the ocean. It's like, how can we just definitively say like, oh, because we don't have like video of them or something, but that doesn't mean it doesn't necessarily exist, you know?
Yeah. But it doesn't mean it does.
But it doesn't mean it does either. I mean,
yeah. I'm a little skeptical about this type of stuff.
Kendall's a skeptic. All right. So that's good, though.
Just a little bit. I'm still open-minded to it, though.
That's good. So be open-minded about the Mothman.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
So the Mothman is one of the longest, like, sustaining paranormal experiences, creatures that has existed, really. Because it's literally been, like, over 50 years that we've known about this. So here is how the Mothman story goes. So it was November 12th, 1966. Five grave diggers were working near Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is where a lot of this cryptid shit happens. But Point Pleasant is a small town with a small community, and they basically claim to have seen a man-like figure fly low from the trees directly over their head. So these five grave diggers were the first ones that basically reported seeing a man-like figure fly over them.
Gross.
That would be weird. I mean, and here's my whole thing for this is like, the skeptics are like, they must have seen something else, like an owl or something. But there are no owls that I know of that are literally the size of a man.
That big. I mean,
if it was truly a man, that'd be like, holy shit. Yeah. So it's a man-sized figure. Is mm-hmm. That's why it's Mothman. Now, what happened next is that the whole community of Point Pleasant was completely unaware of this until November 16, 1966, when a local newspaper actually published an article which completely just shook the entire community. And the article was titled "Couples See Man-Sized Bird ... Something." So this article was essentially about two young couples from Point Pleasant, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and Steve and Mary Millette, who encountered the Mothman the day before on November 15th, 1966. They said they literally ran back into the courthouse. They were basically I guess driving to the courthouse, and they reported seeing this 10-foot tall man with wings and glowing red eyes.
Oh, that's
which is really freaky.
Freaky.
Two couples. So obviously when they said this, they were like, you know, what, can you believe them? Like, yeah. Can you believe their story? There's two couples. Why would two couples lie about seeing something like this? Like, why would you just make this up?
Yeah, seriously. And to like go in on it together and like both agree to like make up a thing about a flying man.
Yeah. And not only that, but there's been a number of other people that have reported seeing this large creature. Oh, that's creature.
So creepy.
So the sheriff, the Mason County sheriff, actually commented saying that he believed the sightings of the Mothman were due to an unusually large sandhill crane, which is a large bird with a 7-foot wingspan and red coloring around its eyes. But I think you would know if you saw a crane, wouldn't you? Like,
yeah, it would look like a fucking crane.
It would look like a crane.
You wouldn't be like, oh, that's a man.
You wouldn't be like, it's this creepy, shadowy man, right?
Yeah, what?
So a lot of people in this town, including the deputies there, thought that the couples were credible and thought they weren't lying and actually believed their stories. And they were even interviewed in separate rooms, and they both explained the incident with the Mothman the same. The report was taken so seriously that the deputy went with Scarberry back to the site near the McClintock Wildlife Management Area where the creature was first spotted. Later on, another sighting of this mysterious Mothman led to some bizarre results. At about 10:30 on that same evening, Noel Partridge, a local building contractor who lived in Salem, about 90 miles from Point Pleasant, was watching television when the screen suddenly went dark. He stated that a weird pattern filled the screen and he heard a loud whining sound from outside that raised in pitch and then stopped. Fucking creepy. Whenever your screen just goes dark,
yeah,
you know something's up. But his dog started to howl on the front porch, so he went outside and flashed his flashlight in the direction of the sound. And that's when he spotted two red circles that looked like eyes or bicycle reflectors. So that's the interesting thing, is that the consistency at what they're seeing between people is very similar. Because like the first couple, when they initially saw, you know, the lights, his eyes or whatever, they thought it was car like taillights, you know, like red taillights, because it kind of looks like glowing in the dark, like red glowing eyes.
So fucking scary.
But it got closer to them and then they're like, holy shit, this is like huge man.
Oh my gosh.
Man-like creature.
And it was flying?
Yeah, and then it just took off and flew away.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is multiple people now that have witnessed this.
Wow.
Not long after that happened, Marcella Bennett, who was completely unaware of these sightings, was visiting a friend living close to the wildlife area. She drove her car to her friend's house and then left her car to walk to the house, but as she was walking, she was confronted by the large gray human-like creature that giant wings and glowing red eyes.
Another woman,
and these are legitimate people. Like, I didn't show you pictures of the people. Like, these are real people that had real experiences with this creature. She was so terrified that, according to her, she dropped her daughter on the ground basically and jumped on top of her to protect her from the creature.
Oh my god!
And she said she literally tells like this of how she was in this position for several minutes, just trying to like hope that the Mothman like goes away, like looking at him and like hopefully, you know, hoping that he just goes away.
What if it's like the devil in like,
I don't know, man.
Or like evil in taking a form?
Maybe.
But it doesn't do anything. It's never like attacked anyone.
That's the thing.
It just scares people.
That's the thing. It like comes up to them and then it flies off.
Oh, that's weird.
But she eventually like got up and ran inside, called the police, and her friends actually watched the creature as well through the window of the house.
Would love to hear that dispatch call.
Wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 911, what's your emergency? There's this giant bird-like man outside looking like he's about to eat something.
I think they'd be a lot more freaked out than that. Sounded pretty calm.
Yo, like, dude, check this out. We got the Mothman outside. Yeah, no, it's pretty weird. So a lot of people saw the Mothman. This is like a ton of people in Point Pleasant claim to have seen the Mothman at one point or time or the other. So after all these sightings, the people of Point Pleasant put together armed patrols and started combing the area to try to track down and kill this son of a bitch. Because fuck, dude, that's scary as hell. I would not want to thing going outside and like running into this like shadowy huge figure that might just like eat me alive. And yeah, you know,
that's freaky,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And people are really terrified of this. This is like a really real thing. And, you know, really, I think a lot of this is a really, yeah, it's a really real event that happened. Like, I don't think people even realize that, but this was like a really serious thing for Point Pleasant. So to this date, there's been a ton of theories that have been put forward to try to explain this mythical like creature known as the Mothman. There's tons and tons of theories out there, but some of them range from the Mothman being some type of alien.
Hmm. Interesting. That could be. We never think an alien would look like that, or we always think that would be something like demonic or something, but I guess it could be an alien.
Could be a like a shape-shifting reptilian or something.
Yeah, interdimensional species.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It could be like an interdimensional being. Maybe it's some type of creature from another realm.
A lower
density
energy being.
Lower density being, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be a mutant creature. Because this idea of like a mutant crane could be like a mute, like a lot of people don't think that this is real, but you know, in these military facilities, there's a bunch of them that are no longer in use anymore. Like the Montauk Project, the Montauk base in New York, there's rumors that there's some like mutant creatures or shit running through the tunnels there because like hazardous chemicals, radioactive shit that they had in there leaked out, whatever. So people think that this area where, you know, the couple saw the Mothman or whatever is located near a former TNT area, which was an area used for ammunition manufacturing during World War II. So it's located in an area where there's large underground tunnels and bunkers, which are thought to be leaking toxic waste into the nearby wildlife preserve.
Wow.
Which is a very real thing. Like, if you've never seen mutant creatures, it's real. Look at any of the Chernobyl and things like that, where radioactive materials get leaked into nature and animals get fucked up and all crazy.
Could they really, like, from that, could a crane end up as a Mothman?
A 10-foot thing?
It's like a little bit, that's pushing it a little bit.
I think it is a little bit too.
Like, maybe three eyes, but like turning into a Mothman? I don't know. That's really bizarre. And if the woman really says,
and again,
she
it's
was
called Mothman because of the wings and the body. Sorry.
The woman, she said she was sitting there for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't she have had a good time to get a good look at this
thing
he's
and dark
determine
and
if
shadowy.
It was a fucking crane or not?
Yeah, they don't.
Well,
he's
dark
not.
And shadowy,
no, I know.
But he's probably not a crane.
No,
then,
they don't think
dark
he's a
and
crane.
Shadowy,
no.
Shadowy.
All the sketches of the Mothman is not a mutant crane.
Oh my god.
So this is just a theory that's out there by like more like scientific folk, I assume.
Interesting.
That it could be some type of mutant.
But she definitely didn't understand what it was because, I mean, she probably had time to look at it.
You would
think. She said she was on the ground
for
a few
minutes.
No,
and they've drawn sketches of it and stuff of what they've seen, and it's not a crane at all.
Or anything. I'm just saying it's obviously not an animal.
Right. It looks like an entity of something.
Scary.
It does. I mean, to me, when I look at it, I think of like a dark angel or something, like a demon or something.
Yeah, no, I've seen it before. It
reminds me of a demon. That's what I think too. But basically,
that would be my guess, is like a lower dimensional being that like somehow got
into our. Yeah, something like that. What's interesting though is a lot of people believe that the Mothman is some kind of like prophetic creature, so they can like basically like a prophet almost, like come and like warn about something that's bad about to happen or something, or is going to bring about something bad. And some people thought that he was there, or the Mothman was there to either warn or, you know, bring about some type of future tragedy or disaster, because the sightings actually continued for months throughout the Point Pleasant area. And the mystery and the fear surrounding this strange creature came to head on December 15, 1967, with the tragic collapse of the Silver Bridge. This was a huge deal. 46 people died when the bridge, which connects the city of Gallipolis, Ohio, collapsed during rush hour. And the destruction was actually blamed on a dysfunctional eye bar in the suspension chain, but locals felt something more sinister was at play and might be connected to reports of this eerie creature.
Wow, that's really freaky, actually.
Yeah, it really is. No, it's really terrifying.
See, part of me just like doesn't like these things because I don't want to believe them. But then I like hear some shit like this, and this seems to have quite a bit to it. That's freaky.
So obviously more and more theories came about, and some came about that Point Pleasant might have been some type of portal to an alternate realm, and that the Mothman creature, coupled with reports of UFOs, poltergeists, and bizarre light phenomenons in the area. So there was all other types of paranormal type shit going on in this area, other reports at the same time. So hence why they thought maybe, like you said, it could be some type of portal to some other type of, you know, level of beings somehow. So the Point Pleasant incidents have been recounted in various media, including the 1975 book The Mothman Prophecies, written by John Keel, who was on assignment in West Virginia during the height of the Mothman phenomenon. And he went on to create a movie in 2002, which adapted the same name, and the 2002 book by cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, Mothman and Other Curious Encounters. But as the Mothman story gained notoriety in pop culture, rumors of other times when the beast appeared prior to tragedy striking began to swirl. And I believe this is probably fictitious, but people have, of course, come forward since and shown photographs of what looks like some type of like flying creature through the air in places like Chernobyl before the Chernobyl disaster happened. Somebody even had a photo of basically like the World Trade area where there's like this Mothman flying around.
Oh, that's
before crazy. The 9/11 before 9/11 happened. I can show you, but it's, again, I don't know the authenticity of the photo.
Yeah, I was
to me
say.
it looks like something somebody doctored up. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
but what's interesting is that on a Chicago night in 2017, there were 55 reports of a flying humanoid scene. This is real. There was,
oh wow, that's interesting.
Like the news reported about it and stuff.
Well,
like they saw something.
That's not just some bullshit.
And there's actually this photo where it looks like there's like something climbing up the bridge, the silver bridge or whatever that we're talking about.
It's freaky, man.
Like this little thing. And again, I don't know if this is a legitimate photograph. It looks like it, but I don't know. It looks like something flying towards the bridge. Mm-hmm. So that's why people think it could be like some type of evil entity that's bringing about disaster and destruction, or it could be some type of being that's like warning us before something like happens, you know, before it actually does.
It's a real catch-22 there.
But this legend of the Mothman is very real, and the people of Point Pleasant have kept this legend alive for years, and the town continues to attract thousands of visitors every year because of the legend of the Mothman. There's even a Mothman's festival every September. And there's also a 12-foot metal statue of the creature,
which we should go there,
unveiled in 2002.
We should like take a random trip there one time.
No, we should. We should go check this out for ourselves. They got a museum and a research center now for it. So it's a very, like, they take it very seriously, and they're still like trying to figure out what's going on.
Interesting.
And the whole area is like pretty paranormal. Like,
oh, there's a lot more to this than I thought. I thought it was kind of like going to be in the realm of like Slender Man. That's why I'm always like,
no, Slender Man is just seen so much fictitious bullshit. Though. Like that.
Yeah. So, that wasn't, I didn't know that. I thought this might have been. I didn't realize there were so many like legit parts to
this. No, this is like, and that's the same goes for like Bigfoot and all these other cryptids, is like most of the times it starts with somebody actually having an encounter with one of these cryptids before they actually like start like researching it and people start looking into it, versus like Slender Man was fucking made up online and then somebody like took it and made it into real life.
Yeah, it was a Photoshop contest.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, pretty interesting that something like that could exist. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough evidence to, you know, say for certain or not, or that there's even a good chance of this being real. But I could be wrong. There could be a lot more evidence for it out there. And obviously these people had an encounter with something, and maybe it wasn't something natural, like just a crane or a bird or, you know, something like that. It could have been something, you know, far more sinister or dark, or who knows? I mean, it's really hard to say. Or some unknown creature from another world. I mean, who knows? But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is actually. So, I kind of want to do a video on that.
Maybe
Freak Week next year.
No, you should. It's very interesting. And I'm sure there's way more than what I talked about. It's a very basic overview. But with any of the cryptids, there's people that literally devote their entire career researching these things and trying to figure out the truth about it. So this is interesting, but the actual journalist we talked about who wrote the Mothman Prophecies. His name's John Keel, and he was actually a journalist and a ufologist. And he wrote a pretty interesting theory about the unexplained. So John Keel spent his life researching these unexplained events, including cryptid sightings, UFOs, cattle mutilations, and other paranormal activity.
That's some freaky shit, the cattle mutilations. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have the perfect person that will can enlighten us on that. So
yeah, we're going to hopefully get them as a guest.
Yeah, because she'll be able to enlighten us about that. But John Keel often wrote about window areas, specific locations on our planet where paranormal events were far more likely and even expected to occur. Because for anybody that experiences something paranormal or believes in the paranormal, the biggest frustration about trying to explain it to other people is the lack of physical evidence, right?
Right.
It's very hard to get physical evidence of it. So basically this guy, John, he developed a hypothesis which explains this like troublesome disparity between, you know, all of this like verbal testimony of the witness of the paranormal versus the usually like little to scarce physical evidence, right? It seems like it's always like all these people saw it, but nobody had physical evidence for
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
And so it's like, ah, well, it's hard to believe then. So he actually wrote a book called The Eighth Tower, which was written at the same time as the Mothman Prophecies, which proposes sort of a unified theory to explain all paranormal events. He explained that these entities are able to shift up and down the electromagnetic spectrum, appearing and disappearing as they please. He called this the super spectrum and referred to the beings inhabiting it as ultra-terrestrials. Now, this is very interesting, and I think this is something that needs to be looked into more, because the idea that, you know, based upon the electromagnetic spectrum, they are able to manipulate that, which, you know, the Earth is surrounded by electromagnetic energy. And so the electromagnetic thing is like literally what is like real. It's a real thing, proven thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very possible that there's interdimensional beings or some types of entities that are able to shift in between the spectrum or dimensions in a way.
Yeah.
And that they would not, you know, like extraterrestrials would be like not of this planet. Ultra terrestrials would be not of this density or dimension or whatever you want to call it, or the this electromagnetic spectrum. This could explain the variety of electromagnetic effects often associated with paranormal events, right?
Yeah.
There's all the classics one, like the car stalling, mm-hmm. widespread power outages, radios and telephones go crazy, static, battery-operated devices refuse to work, clocks and watches have been known to stop in the presence of UFOs, cryptids, and ghosts.
Interesting.
Which makes sense, because, like, think about it. Most people that have some type of paranormal experience have experienced one of those things happening to them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And why is it always those things? You know, it's not like you hear about like somebody had a ghost and it was like making tea or something and like pouring tea. It's communicating through these devices that work off electromagnetic energy or radio and like waves.
But not always though, because sometimes it's just like a drawer, like an inanimate object.
It's true.
But I think it is definitely a medium that they can like communicate through.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like, in if you're going to consider, like, aliens and UFOs paranormal, too, to think about those crop circles, how they would be electromagnetic. Like, the area around the crop circles would be, like, there'd be, like, static.
Yeah.
Remember?
Totally. Yeah. They're able to pull actual remnants of
electromagnetic energy
off of the area where these crop circles are, which, to me, what makes sense is these craft that they operate are electromagnetic, and that's how they essentially, like, they have a way to control energy and gravity in a different way that we can, and they can push all of these crops down in these formations really quickly.
They understand like frequencies.
Yeah, it's really weird. Maybe they can even like change the energy in the air surrounding the crops so that they do the bending over and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. We should do a crop circle podcast for sure.
Yeah. I think we should do crop circles and like abductions or implants or something and just kind of put them all
into one, though.
Yeah.
Because I think we need like two on, like one on each. It's like so much.
I don't know. You guys tell us. But yeah, isn't that interesting? He also believes that these Beings are native to the earth, which explains their manifestation in different forms throughout the ages, wow. and that they inhabit physical dimensions beyond normal human perception.
Ooh.
What if they're always there and we just can't see them?
I mean, I think I believe
if there's
that.
A spectrum, like we can't see all everything on the light spectrum. So
yeah,
if there's other types of spectrums, it's very possible we just can't see them or
it's
maybe.
It's like an interstellar.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Well, yeah. that's like a totally different dimension, but this is just like they're in our dimension, but they're yeah. just on a different spectrum. So they're like invisible to us for some reason. And we sometimes mm-hmm. encounter them in weird ways because either we can purposely encounter them, we can make them appear almost, or they are coming into a different part of our spectrum that crosses over with ours.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot more than you thought, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, no, I've always believed in these, in multidimensional beings and stuff, though, so.
Which, yeah, and this theory fits with our scientific understandings of how our brains perceive the world around us. It is well known that our senses are only equipped to pick up a very small amount of physical activity. Dogs, cats, and other animals are able to hear audio frequencies we cannot.
Yeah, that's why fucking, is oh it a, my it, God. In our old place, okay? I think I told this on another podcast, so I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I had a paranormal experience. I have a video of it on my YouTube channel in our last apartment. Like, some shit happened. I am convinced serious. Some shit happened. Like, and I normally, I'm not, like, preaching every day, like, oh, I have a paranormal experience. Like, it happened to me fucking once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once. And it was crazy. And at the time that it was happening, our cat would, like, meow, like, crazy at walls. She would go to corners and, like, just... cry all the time. It was always like on certain areas, certain corners of our bedroom. And like, she still kind of does that now when she just like is being annoying, but not nearly
no, not
what she
like,
was doing then.
Not like before. It was like very specific too.
Yeah.
And they were like looking up.
Yeah, she was looking at things and then we would like hold her up.
And I swear like at one point I almost felt like I saw some type of entity like kind of hanging
first
in the corner.
Time I've heard you
just
say
like
this.
A, yeah no I'm just saying I'm just saying it's a thought that I never communicated because I thought it was bullshit, but now I'm like maybe
that
something.
Was that one time that you thought you saw something descending from the ceiling.
No this sleep. Is different. That was a totally different time. that was a fucking crazy dream.
Well, I saw some shit. It was crazy.
But I totally felt like there was something.
But Lily was probably picking
there.
Up on like frequencies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I
believe
think
that completely.
You think
that
animals have a sixth sense?
Yeah, I think because they lack the sense that we do, the speech that they like make up, they have stronger in other senses.
Yeah, yeah. But pick up an extra one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, or they pick up another one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Paranormal animals.
But I don't know if all animals are like that. Because like Tucker never did that. Meatball doesn't do that. It was just Lily that was doing that.
Yeah, maybe only certain animals have like that clairvoyancy or something.
Could
or
be.
Like that sixth sense. I don't know. It's really interesting.
Gosh.
But another thing that I know we've talked about on here before, maybe briefly, is like the growing CE5 movement that's happening, which is basically close encounters of the fifth kind, which is basically interacting with extraterrestrial beings and UFOs. Like contacting them. And we've talked about this a little bit because we talked about Dr. Stephen Greer on one of our past episodes. He's a very well-known ufologist and very interesting spiritual teacher as well. And he has created these protocols. He's developed these protocols that he says allow you to intentionally contact these beings, whether it be some type of interdimensional being or it's some type of extraterrestrial being based, focused through meditation.
Yeah.
Like you meditating can then almost like draw them into you.
Mm-hmm. It's like putting out a signal. Like we've seen videos of him trying to like do that kind of stuff. And he's like literally like try to meditate good thoughts and positive, like glowing thoughts.
But
like,
it's way more than that. I mean,
no, I know. But yeah. At the time, that's what he was saying to his group.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
saw
yeah.
a video of him doing it.
Yeah, totally.
After they had been out there for right. hours and hours and hours. But like at the time, remember, there was like video
yeah.
that he captured of like orbs.
Oh, I know.
It's wild.
It's like, very wild. And that's the thing about it is it's very real. Like there's actual proof of this, that this actually does work.
I had a subscriber with something like write me this long email about her experience doing a CE5 with Dr. Greer, and she was just like going on and on and on about it. I was so intrigued.
I know, we got to do it. We got to do it at some point.
Well, our first goal is to get Dr. Greer on the podcast, we'll and then maybe he can hook us up with a CE5.
Because it does sound really interesting. And there are videos of expeditions they've had where they do, like, there was one that I saw where they actually, like, somebody in the group made contact with a light being, literally, and they captured it on camera. He has film of what looks like this outline of I don't even know if it's human or not, but it like a body, a light body, like kind of like standing on the ground near where they were. It was so interesting. I'm like, wow. And I know this isn't just like doctored shit. Like this is legitimate film that was caught in camera and everything. So they're absolutely connecting with something out there. And, you know, he believes it's extraterrestrials and they definitely could be. So, you know, it's very possible that we're surrounded all by these interdimensional ultra-terrestrials or whatever you want to call them. Or on the skeptic side, maybe all of these, you know, cryptids and paranormal stuff is just a like fixture of our imagination. Like it's just our imaginations making up this like vivid thing, or our brain playing tricks on us. That's what people will say.
You get into some, eventually you're like in some state where it's almost like you're drug tripping.
Yeah. Well, you can kind of like almost.
Well, show the video of where they actually like get some orbs start coming out of the sky towards them. Like,
no, I know.
Clearly that isn't made up by their brains. It's wild, dude. There's real video of it. Mm-hmm. Like, look it up. It's fucking weird. You can see them for yourselves. And it's not doctored.
No. It's not doctored.
It's like a whole group of people with him. It's really crazy.
It is really crazy. So,
and people pay mad money to go on these things, actually. They like, because like, it's like a whole thing that they do. Like, it's a whole trip. So, like, they go off of other people's experiences as well. It's not like every single person is just imagining the same shit.
No,
they're getting the same thing in their head. You know, they're seeing the same things. They're taught.
Yeah,
they're,
I mean, if it's physically manifesting itself, then yeah, they're absolutely seeing it. Yeah.
Right.
But sometimes they communicate through like meditation and stuff. Like,
I'm just saying that other people in the group would have something different if it was made up in their head, if it was being just manifested in their brain.
No. Yeah. Manifesting the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
and
I know.
Not. They see the same things.
It's very interesting. If you've never seen it, just YouTube, CE5, Serious Disclosure, or Dr. Greer, and you'll find it. And he has a video of it from Florida where, they're sitting on the beach and literally you see four orbs just like pop up. Or I don't remember how many
really,
exactly.
Really, really weird.
Yeah, they pop up.
That was one of the videos that really shook me.
It's really cool. It's really cool. It's not bullshit either. So Speaking of meditation, guys.
Yeah.
I want to thank our last sponsor today, Calm. Really great app.
Yes.
A new year brings an opportunity to reset and to establish new habits for our happiest, healthiest selves. Joining a gym, eating better, you guys know the drill, but improving physical health isn't the only resolution to consider. We can resolve to improve our mental well-being too, and that's where meditation comes in. It is great for improving your overall mental health as well as raising that consciousness.
Yes.
It's great for anxiety, stress.
And if you ever want to do like a CE5 one day or something like that, you get better practice.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is doing some serious meditation. Yeah. So
you got to have that like skill. It's a skill like anything else. Meditation takes practice and consistency. And there's the reason Calm is so cool too, is that you can go through all these different like courses. Like you can start with the 7-day intro.
That will teach you how to meditate and stuff.
Yep.
So if you've never meditated before and you want to try, this is a great opportunity to try it with a really great app. In fact, it's the number one app to help you sleep, meditate, and relax. So if you head to calm.com/milehigher, you'll get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programs, including guided meditations on issues like anxiety, stress, and focus, including a brand new meditation each day called the Daily Calm. What's also great is there's also sleep stories, which are bedtime stories for adults designed to help you relax before you doze off. Head to the lavender fields of France with Stephen Fry, or explore New Zealand with Jerome Flynn from Game of Thrones. Bob Ross is even there, too. There's Matthew McConaughey, the universe one. Very good. There's soothing music, breathing exercises, gentle stretches to relax your body, and more. It's a great app for those that are at the office and, you know, during your lunch break, you're like, fuck, I'm stressed. You know, instead of smoke a cigarette, I'm going to do some meditation. So great way to get your mind and body healthy and relax at the same time. So again, for a limited time, Mile Higher listeners get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/milehigher. That's calm.com/milehigher. Get unlimited access to all of Calm's content today at calm.com/milehigher. Give yourself the gift of calm and a happy and healthy 2019.
Absolutely great resolution.
Take advantage of that. And that's a really great deal. 25% off. I forget what the actual total is, but it's not much. I mean, Yeah,
that's a good deal. And dude, for real,
it's a couple lunches out.
Just take the time to do that. You know, it's like every day that I actually meditate, which is most days, it helps so much. And I'm like, I never regret it.
No, and you will feel refreshed after you do it. And you will feel less stressed out and more relaxed.
More focused.
It's a great way to start your day too. Like it's a great way
to
end it, or both. Yeah.
Or mid break.
Or three times a day. Exactly. So yeah. Can't recommend meditation.
Hey, it's a great excuse to like tell everyone to fucking leave you alone and go like chill.
Yeah. No, it is. It really is. And there's great, really great ambient music on there, calm music you listen to while you work. You know, whatever. It's really good stuff.
And there's tons of different links and stuff. Okay, now we're going on and on and on.
All right, guys. Let's talk about ghosts. Let's talk about ghosts. So we got into Mothman. Let's talk about ghosts. Ghosts, to me, are one of the most real aspects of, in my opinion, of the paranormal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, throughout human history, you can go all the way back to, you know, ancient cultures. And one aspect that they all talk about is ghosts, spirits, specters, whatever you want to call them. Going back, you know, if you think about it, like Native Americans talked about spirits and spirit animals and things like that. So think of all the ancient cultures and cultures of the world at like Japan, talking about the ancestors, and they like almost like pay respect and pray and worship their ancestors as like deities almost. You know?
Absolutely.
So obviously
we all should, honestly.
Yeah. So obviously there's something going on there.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's not just like praying or, you know, it's not just like it's just a bunch of nothing. I mean, it could be, but I doubt it, because nearly 1 in 5 Americans believe in ghosts and have also claimed to see one. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
A lot of people believe in ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts? Probably, if you're watching this. So what
I would actually like to know, like, is there any of you that like don't believe in ghosts? I feel like I never come across people that are like, I don't believe in ghosts at all. I hate them, or like, or I don't believe in anything.
My I'm pretty sure my parents don't believe in ghosts. Well, that's the thing, is a lot of people think of ghosts because like you got to define what a ghost is.
What does ghost mean for you though?
You have to define what it is, because a lot of people think like fucking Casper, the friendly ghost.
Like, to me, like a ghost is a soul of some sort that has passed, that is no longer living.
Yeah.
Or maybe has not even started living yet, or is just not living currently. A consciousness stream, a soul, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they're the spirits of the dead, that the soul has somehow transcended the death of the physical body to continue to inhabit our realm for reasons unknown. It's kind of like one good definition of it. What's interesting, though, is that if you're a part of any religion, you know, as you guys know, I was a, you know, Christian growing up for almost 18 years, and in my religion, as well as other people in my family who are Catholic, there's only like, when you bring up the idea of ghosts or ghost in general, it's the Holy Ghost, which could also entail angels, you know, as being like some type of ghostly figure, an angel, you know, back, if you go back into the Bible and you look at like what angels are, it's kind of a ghost. Like, it's like this.
I was just about to say, like, I would put angels in the category of ghosts. I just think it's like anything that's like,
yeah,
not
exactly
of this earth,
or like something from the other side, or whatever you want to call it. So it was the Holy Ghost. But then in most religions, there is no like friendly spirit ghosts. It's demons. It's demonic. It's some type of evil ghostly entity,
which I also believe in. You know, I believe in, we've talked a lot about how we believe in dark versus light. A lot of people believe in that, you know, basic good versus evil. There has to be a balance in the world, yin yang, whatever. So I think there's probably like shitty ones too.
Yeah. No,
I think there's lower
I
dimensional beings and higher dimensional beings.
Yeah. I think there's absolutely evil shit out there. And I think there's absolutely evil paranormal shit. Cause I mean, come on guys. Like if you look at all of these stories, if you look at so many of these horror movies, they're like based on true events,
it's
based
not like
on
they're
true
all
stories.
Bullshit.
I think there could be some type of evil entities out there that are possessing people, are taking your, are doing really fucked up, crazy shit out there. And we just don't have an explanation for them. So like religions put the name demons on them. I mean, whether or not they're actually like the demons that we think of is another question, but I don't know. It seems to me like there is a good evil type spirit ghost situation going on for sure.
I think so.
And I think most people would agree with that. So let's talk about some, you know, theories for them existing in the first place. Kind of beyond the, you know, normal theory as to what they are. And one alternative theory to the idea of ghosts are the spirits of the dead involves a concept that these are not independent entities at all, but rather sort of an echo of what once was, commonly referred to as residual hauntings.
Okay.
The basic idea is that for some reason, past events have been imprinted upon the building or the landscape and are merely playing back like images on camera film or sounds on an audio tape, residual memories of time lost.
Yeah, I have heard of this. This is interesting to think about for sure. And that would explain why there's so many of these things in haunted places. Like, you know,
that's why
it's
you
not
hear
like
the haunted
you
place.
See a ghost at a mall or like the grocery store. They're in like grave sites and murder
scenes. You have to go to
places
these
where
places where something happened that may have imprinted on
maybe
that
location.
Maybe
it allows that location to have a weaker like barrier between the dimensions that things can like, it's kind of like a both space. It merges them or something.
Yeah.
Does that just sound like some bullshit?
Yeah, it does. So let me try to rephrase that for you. So basically this theory is like, it's more like watching a video with the film actually being the area around it. So it's like the area is projecting the ghosts, the spirits that we are perceiving them as in that area. And then, and this theory is especially applied to cases wherein the apparitions seem to mindlessly repeat the same series of actions over and over again, perhaps for eternity, and do not seem to realize that they are being watched or that they are dead. So no more than an image on a film knows it's being looked at, kind of thing. Huh. Which kind of makes sense. Why and how these particular past events should have been transplanted onto the landscape as well as how they are played back is obviously unknown.
But they interact. Most like things like that, they like interact with people that are there.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I don't know if you can take this theory and apply it to every single ghost sighting or ghost encounter or spirit or demon encounter.
Well, I think what I was saying made sense then. Like, I think that maybe in these places where these things have happened, that there's less of a barrier between the dimensions.
Yeah.
That's what I originally said that you just said was bullshit.
Well, I take
now you
it back.
Agree?
No, I don't agree, but
you just didn't understand me the first time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think that like if bad things happen in an area, they like kind of stain that area?
Or maybe not if maybe but if maybe someone had a very traumatic death in an area, it like opens a portal or something. I mean, I'm reaching for sure. I'm just getting creative with my thoughts.
If something like
Maybe
if there's a death involving something negative, negative energy,
it
kind of then
merges
it,
the dimensions
then
in
maybe
that space
it, and opens it to the lower level
that, and
densities.
And kind of merges it with ours in that space.
Creates like a little gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh my God.
Rabbit on the loose.
So another intriguing theory is that ghosts do not come from the outside world at all, but rather from within.
Oh, hollow earth theory?
Yeah, they are from the inner earth civilization, actually. So in this line of reasoning, ghosts are not a product of the supernatural energy or strange forces of nature, but are rather extensions of the mind, reaching out through little understood psychic powers, creating seemingly real constructed constructs projected onto the physical world solely through the power of the subconscious mind. So basically, this is a fancy definition for your brain playing fucking tricks on you and you seeing some shit that ain't there. And I think that I know that's happened to me before where I thought I've seen something and it ended up being nothing or something completely different, where your mind just kind of like fucks with you when you see something and, you know, it's not actually there or not actually what you're seeing. So I don't know. Could ghosts be just history playing back on an endless loop? So, what's also interesting about this is that basically these thought forms are often referred to as tulpas and can even be generated by people who are not even aware that they are doing it. And the forms often appearing to materialize or vanish at will, depending on the mental state of the individual or individuals projecting them. So for example, like if you're like working somewhere, like you're at a hotel and you start hallucinating like a ghost or a phantom, or you're like, let's say, I think the example that I saw was like, you're writing a book about something like like something scary or something being in this area that you are. And then you start visualizing it in this area. And so like, let's say you're writing a book about a ghost or, you know, like a phantom or something haunting something. And then you all of a sudden are projecting that into reality.
Like manifesting it. And then
you
start
seeing it. Kind of like you manifest it and you actually project this, you know,
mental. A lot of people believe that like our whole universe is malleable and you can like change or create anything and bring anything like that into existence. I don't know though. I feel like people write a lot of scary stories and there'd be a lot of scary shit all the time. Yeah,
I
mean,
I don't know. I think a lot.
Does that mean Slender Man's real then?
Yeah, I guess.
That's a stretch.
Yeah. I think that could be applied to like specific examples of ghost sightings, but I don't think that would explain all. You know, I think a lot of these are, and that's the thing, right? And what makes this paranormal is like you can try all you want to apply science and logic and reasoning from what we know about the brain and how the brain thinks or whatever. But at the end of the day, we just don't fucking know anything. Mm-mm. We don't know anything. I mean, we don't even know how the consciousness works in the first place. So how the hell are we supposed to know if our brain is projecting something that isn't there or we're or even when we're hallucinating? I mean, how do we know the whole fucking life isn't a hallucination and a projected reality of some sort? We don't know.
Yeah.
So I think it's really tough. And that's why paranormal remains this, you know, remains what it is, because we can't. You can't really apply logic and reasoning to it because it's just so fucking beyond what we.
But something clearly is going on. It's just like we don't understand it all the way.
It's just way too complicated, way too advanced for our little fucking monkey brains. You know? So I don't know. It's really tough. What do you think about poltergeist? Do you know what a poltergeist is?
I know the word and now I forget. But I feel like angry. As soon as you say it, what? Angry.
Usually angry, but they're basically noisy, moving shit around all the time.
Oh, they're like around. Really evil ghosts, yeah. Because they've usually they're like mad they're evil, because they've been wronged in their life or something, or like
they cause disturbances. They're the ones that move objects around, slam doors, you know, like
slam doors. Well, see, okay, my mom, I never got to go to this house, but her aunt like owned this really old ass house, and they sold it like this summer because they passed away. But, she and my dad like claim, and my dad, like, he doesn't believe in anything.
Thinks this is all BS.
You know, well, he doesn't think it's all BS, but he needs a lot of like proof. But he believes that there was a ghost living in that. Her name was like Mrs. Boggs.
Really?
Yes. And then they were staying there. They like, my mom got trapped in a room, and like someone, she claims that like there was a chair like blocking the door handle. She got like locked in the cellar. And she thought my dad like played a prank on her, but then he finally found her like in this room, and she was like, "Did you put this chair to block the door?" And he was like, "No."
Whoa.
Like obviously he wouldn't block her. No. Ask my dad about it, dude. It's crazy. Like she would move the towels. My mom said the towels would like just randomly fly off the racks and shit, or the fireplace would blow out or turn on.
I'm sorry, where was this at again?
In Maine. I didn't say it. This, remember when I went to Maine when we first met? And I was being like such a brat about going.
Yeah.
There was like a big funeral out there.
Hmm.
but it's a really famous house.
What about
house.
Their first house? Was that haunted at all?
Oh, that wasn't. No, no, no. This isn't my parents' house.
No,
this
I know. I'm just asking.
Her aunt's house that they
I'm
stayed
curious
in.
Because it's an older home in like New England and stuff. Like a yeah. lot of the hauntings and a lot of
no,
the
I don't think my parents
things are in those New England area.
Yeah,
dude.
My I was born in a tiny, tiny house in Acton.
Yeah.
I was going to say attic.
Acton, Massachusetts.
In, yes, in Acton.
Well, that's where your parents
tiny
lived.
Tiny
yeah.
farmhouse, really, really old. But I don't think they had anything haunted there, no. In Maine, in the Maine house, though. Ask about Mrs. Boggs sometime. My dad like doesn't really believe in like a lot of things, but he believes in Mrs. Boggs for sure.
Hmm. And it's always...
My whole family believes in it.
It's really interesting, though, this idea of like ghosts and hauntings and stuff, because it really does seem like it's a historical thing. Like,
yeah.
It goes back to like something in history.
I think people's souls, like some of them, like kind of stick around.
They like linger know. Or something.
I mean, Miss Boggs, like at one point, obviously owned the house, whatever. She was like somehow in our family. I don't know, or somehow owned this house. I don't even know if we were related to her, but we lived. My family somehow bought this house that she used to live in. And yeah, I don't think we were related to her now that I'm thinking about
it.
But she wasn't a mean
is.
Ghost, but she slammed shit around. That's what I was going to say. She would. According to my parents, would throw things, slam things, break things, but she wasn't an angry ghost.
And you didn't feel like it was like malicious, like it was.
I don't know because I wasn't there, but my parents did not feel.
I mean,
they loved her. They were
you,
like, she took care
why
of.
Why was she locking in the door then? Why is she locking your mom somewhere with a chair behind?
That
doesn't
That's
seem
a good
very
fucking
nice
question.
To me.
I don't know, but my mom always said she like
ghost
took care of them
the
and
door.
Like hung up their towels and shit.
I don't know, man.
Maybe she
Sounds
was angry.
A little fishy. Maybe she's pissed how
I
she
don't
died
know. My
or something.
Aunt and uncle lived there for like a really long time. My great aunt and uncle. I don't know. They liked her. They were like, oh, Miss Boggs. She's
well,
so
maybe
nice.
They're severely mistaken.
God, I wonder who owns that house now because I know someone bought it. And I think they might have been tearing it down for something in my I don't
yeah,
know.
They probably should tear it down.
No. God, it's so... New England, though, is full of shit. Like
yeah,
that.
That's what I'm saying is like... Talk about like a paranormal hotspots. Like seems like yeah. New England's just full.
I went
of
to this really old creepy church when I was out there where we buried them out in the field of this
you buried
old
what?
My aunt and uncle were buried there.
Oh.
And we like visited there because they were buried 6 months before the memorial. So like we weren't there to bury them, but we went to see where they were buried.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like on this old farmhouse. And then there was a this old, old church, like super old church, like barely falling apart and everything. And it was so creepy. Like I just got the major heebie-jeebies around there. Like I was like wigging out the whole time we were out there. And
I feel like I a graveyard know. Would just be
some
like,
of those old historic places yeah. are just freaky. It wasn't a graveyard. It's just their land that they
oh wow okay.
were able to bury
oh,
them
shit.
On. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, my paranormal, like real life experience is very minimal. And most recently was when we visited the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which is a very famous hotel. It's where they filmed The Shining, Stephen King movie. And we took a ghost tour there. And we should go back and take another
oh, yeah.
night ghost tour.
I know.
And
with,
stay
like,
in the
John
room.
John and Janelle or something.
We got to stay in that room too there.
Yeah, I don't know though.
Where
I'm
you literally
out.
Stay the night with the ghost. And we were on the tour. And we
yeah.
actually went to the door because she likes to, the tour guide likes to bring you to whoever's staying there to talk to them and see what they think.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if we, I don't think we saw, did we see into their room?
No. But a couple was staying in there that night. I have video of it on my YouTube channel. If you type in Stanley Hotel, Kendall Ray, it'll come up. But I put in vlog clips of this couple. We were like coming down the stairs
yeah.
and they were coming out for the day and they were like, the tour guide knew that they were staying in that room that night. And she was like, oh my gosh, hi. Can you like, did you have anything happen in this room last night where this one ghost would, I can't remember her name now, but I know her story. She's the one who like walked into a room. It was full of gas and she,
it blew up.
Yeah.
yeah.
But then like, she survived that and then lived for a while longer and then died and then like stayed around and helped.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So right. she would like unpack your bags and like do all this shit.
And apparently like the guide tells us it's famous because she gets in bed with you at night.
Yeah.
Or, and you feel
well,
a presence
in the bed.
Only if
you're not married, though. Only if you're not married.
Right. But even if you're single, like if you're in there by yourself, too.
No.
I think she gets in there,
nope.
too. No.
She only gets in the bed if you are not married
in the
to
bed.
Protect your... Yes, she goes in the
but
room
she
no
goes
matter
in the
what.
Room. Because...
But she only goes in the bed if you are not married because she wants to protect your reputation as a woman.
Right.
She's very old school. So this
that.
Woman, like... this couple came down the stairs and she was like, so did you guys have any experiences with her? And they were like, oh yeah, she was like totally in the bed. It was like a horrible night. They were like freaked out. So there's a video of that. And then there's also a clip of us when we're going through another part of it. And one of the doors was just opening and shutting.
Dude, I know I was the one that noticed it and it blew my fucking mind. I was like, we were standing there kind of looking up because she was telling us like, there's like a vortex or something going on in the stairwell. And I'm standing there and I'm looking across the way. And then all of a sudden a door of the room swings open and there's somebody in the room, but they were nowhere near the door and they didn't even notice it.
Yeah,
and the door literally swung like all the way open. The windows were closed, no draft or anything. And then it shut like almost all the way. And then it swung open really fast. Like,
yeah, it was really weird. It was
bizarre, man. And we were standing there.
I'm glad I got it on camera too. That was cool.
But that room, what I was going to say is that room where the woman is, Jim Carrey actually stayed there.
Yeah. And he got so freaked out, he left in the middle of the night.
He claims to this day, like, she's there. She's in there.
He won't tell anyone. Well, actually, he won't
tell anybody what was in there. But he had an experience in there and he did not stay he couldn't stay the night in there.
And he left in the middle of the night.
That's crazy. So I don't know, man. Ghosts are just a very weird phenomenon. I mean,
I really would like to get some like people who really know their shit about ghosts on the podcast. Cause clearly like you and I don't know that much about it. Like we know some stuff, but you know, I want to find a ghost hunter, like a real fucking ghost hunter.
Yeah, that's like knows the science or whatever, and knows understands it on a totally different level. It'd be really interesting because I don't think any of these paranormal things are just like our minds playing tricks on us necessarily.
No, I don't either. I think some of them are, but like not all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, not every single sighting or person's report is real, and you know, evidence is always good too, and. I mean, just the mere fact that there are ghost hunters and all these shows and stuff that are, you know, actively looking into this stuff. And one of there's so many freaky movies I've seen with ghosts and such. Like,
I don't know why you ever watch
the Blair Witch Project?
No. Are you kidding? Like, dude, you're married to me. You know I haven't seen this shit.
You guys watch the Blair Witch Project? That's like that one is just such a trippy movie, man. Just weird shit. But anyway, final thoughts on ghosts. Real or no?
Well, we're going to do more podcasts on ghost stuff probably, right?
Yeah.
This is just one of many campfire chats.
No. This is one of many paranormal podcasts.
No, so. Campfire chats. I'm getting pissed now. This is my one request.
There's no fucking campfire, dude. People are like, what people?
It doesn't matter.
That is clickbait, dude.
No, it's not. How is that clickbait? It's fun naming is what it is. That's not clickbaiting. Clickbaiting is if I said we were doing something different. We were telling like ghost stories like around a campfire.
All right.
You're lame, Josh. You're not creative. You're just a dumb Virgo.
I'm just logical and to the point, and I like shit to make sense and not
look silly. I love series names, clearly.
I know. I've already let you name enough.
No.
You named Ponder Sesh, too. I know.
Well, now I want to have campfire chat.
All right, guys. Let us know in the comments if you guys want us to call this campfire chats. If you do... Like, if you don't, subscribe.
No, but we're going to call it that from the beginning. Apollo's eating my sweatshirt. My bunny's eating me alive now. I need to go.
I know. Kendall's now brought the bunny into the podcast now. So.
Oh, he's eating our merch. Dude, he's eating our Mile High merch.
Our merch is so good that our bunny is eating it. That is the quality of it. It is bunny food.
And for those of you guys that are wondering, like, wow, Kendall all of a sudden has a random bunny. Well, you can actually see them on my Instagram at milehigherzoo.com.
You heard it here first. We got a fucking zoo.
Yes, but I did get bunnies. I have a boy and a girl. I have two Holland Lops, and I love them. I've had them for like 2 months, and their names are Apollo and Athena, after the Greek gods.
Cute. So, yeah. Super cute.
Josh is like, whatever.
I'm like, I've heard enough about your damn bunnies.
Oh, my God.
I love them. They're like my little, look how cute. Oh, he's so cute. And so they're so nice. If you've never seen a Holland Lop bunny, the cutest thing ever. But anyway, guys, we will wrap things up here today. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Mile Higher Podcast. It's been real. Hopefully you learned something new about the paranormal. Dude, sometimes I get the craziest accent whenever I'm talking
you
on this
do.
Shit.
You do. You like sometimes, and I always make fun of you, and then people are must like, be oh, my roots poor Josh. Out. Kendall's so mean to Josh. He makes fun of him mispronouncing
stuff. I know.
Stuff.
I actually get really bummed out after.
Oh, I'm my God. We're husband and wife. Yeah. You guys should hear what we're like off camera. You think I'm mean to him here?
It's true. It's true. But anyways, if you guys enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube as well on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. Really appreciate it. Also, check out the hottest merch in the game.
And follow at MileHigherZoo.com.
And follow the MileHigherZoo on Twitter.
Hottest merch in a game? Did you just... Oh, I did. Did you just say like a Paul thing? Which Paul says that? Logan or Jake?
Whatever, dude.
Cop the hottest merch in the game.
Cop the hottest merch in the game. Kendall's repping it right now. The Mile High official.
It's covered in cat sweatshirt. Hair.
Yes.
Bunny hair. And it's got bunny bites on it. But.
But it looks we good, bitch. Appreciate all of you guys for joining us and supporting us. And yeah, we will see you guys next time.
Peace.